business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions. Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 30, 30 of Not a Real Job, our podcast about marketing, digital media, social media management, and all sorts of related stuff. I am Chris Van Patten, and I make websites and web applications, usually with WordPress, in New York City.
And I am Joel Kelly, and I do social media strategy and execution for travel and tourism brands out of Nova Scotia, Canada. Snowy Nova Scotia, Canada.
We're expecting snow in the next couple of days, so we'll be joining you soon.
Excellent. That makes me feel slightly better, I guess, now that I'm back here and not down there. I don't know. Let's talk about that. Let's launch with how depressed I am being in Canada now after spending 5 days in New York City and having an amazing time. Back up here.
Our city can do that to people.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to have a few days on vacation and kind of get to explore. And I think probably the highlight of my trip, or at least one of several amazing highlights, was the meetup we did. So we had, crazily enough, three people who decided to show up in New York City and chat with us and hang out and play games at Mother's Ruin, an amazing bar in Soho, which is kind of wild. From going from a show that no one listened to now enough people listening to it that people will show up and hang out with us is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was really neat to meet people who actually knew who we were and what we were doing and talking about and had actual opinions on it. So that was a lot of fun. And thanks to all of you for coming out, Ben and Oz and oh God,
it's Josh.
Josh. I was going to say Jason. And I knew that was wrong. So thank you for correcting me.
Well,
there.
Josh and I then hung out for a while on Thursday. I went over to Brooklyn, had lunch with him, and he showed me around a bit and then gave me a bunch of ideas for things to spend my last full day in New York doing. So thanks, Josh, for that. That was a lot of fun. Pretty crazy that that people are listening. And I think, again, this goes back to just the huge effect that the ads that we've run on Mabimam have had on our show, and even our satisfaction doing the show has certainly gone up knowing that there's an audience out there, and it's an audience that listens to Mabimam. So it's cool people.
Sure. Yeah. These are the cream of the crop, our listeners.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about the results of that, that second ad that we did. So if you're just tuning in, if this is your first episode, welcome. It's because we put another ad on Mabimbam, and it went up last week, and we talked a little bit about it on last week's episode, but we didn't really have a clear picture of the stats that were resulting from that, but now we do. So just to give you sort of the rough basics, we actually added about 200 subscribers, a little over 200, which is pretty great. And I think that's pretty spot on with what I was expecting last time in terms of, you know, we would get another pretty sizable number, but not quite as much the first time. So that makes sense. Our last episode, episode 29, has actually been downloaded more times than episode 27 has total. And it's just about to edge episode 28. And we're recording this on Sunday, so it's only been out for a couple days. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I guess that's about our second ad had, what, 60-ish percent the results of our first one? Something like that?
I think right around there.
Yeah, that's not surprising at all. I mean, obviously, diminishing returns are going to play a pretty significant role in it, but I think that's fantastic. And, you know, sorry, now my computer has now decided to remind me to update.
Perfect timing.
Try in an hour. So I mean, it's such a huge testament to, I think, podcast advertising in general, that, you know, the people who heard our first ad and didn't do anything about it, hearing the second one, obviously, had an effect in as well. You know, not everyone listens to every episode, so there's definitely some value in doing more than one. Doing just a single ad doesn't mean you're going to hit the whole audience, obviously, or at least You're going to inspire people to take more action, which is super exciting for us. And what that led to, other than, just more subscribers, is that at our meetup, we got to meet these people and we got to play Doodle Game, which we mentioned in. Do you remember what episode that was that we talked about Doodle?
It was 26, I believe.
26. We talked about Doodle, which is a super, super, super fun card / drawing based game. You sure it was 26?
26 or 27.
Yeah. Anyway, so go to where do we have a link? We'll put the link in the show notes, but you got to go to the website. You've got to check out this game. We talked about it in 28, apparently. And sign up for the newsletter so you can find out about this really fun game. We got to play it. Oz was one of the fans of Mabimim and then became, she's declared herself the number one super fan for Not a Real Job, which is fantastic. She came out, brought the game with her, and we all got to play it. And I'm not going to say I was the best at it, but I was.
I'm going to say that I was the best at it.
I don't think you were, though.
I was pretty good. But check out Doodle Game on Twitter, and you can actually see the drawings that we did for the game.
Yeah.
Sort of like a Pictionary meets Cards Against Humanity. It's really cool. Check it out.
It's definitely a unique game. Obviously, there are games that it, clearly pays some homage to. Of course, Pictionary. Of course, games like Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples. But it definitely brings its own spirit and personality to it that makes it so wonderfully fun to play. I'm excited to play it again. And I think you will be once you read about it. Once you see, again, go to it's Doodle Game One on Twitter. Doodle Game One, numeral one on Twitter. Check it out. You're going to want to play it too. So stay tuned. They'll be launching a Kickstarter in the next month or so. And you would be crazy not to get on board with it.
Yeah, definitely. That's basically where we've come in the past week or two. What else do we want to talk about? Is there anything else?
I'm drinking Glenlivet 15 today, a scotch. I meant to grab the Glenfiddich 15, and I didn't realize they have the identical color box, and there was a guy standing in front of the scotch shelf at the liquor store, and I just quickly just grabbed it, and I got the wrong one. Of course, Glenlivet's good, too, but the Glenfiddich just has such an interesting, more fruity, and if the 15 especially has a very caramelly flavor, and that's what I meant to grab, so... I mean, I'm pretty impressed with myself that I'm able to be disappointed in a $70 bottle of scotch. I think I've really, I'm slowly getting my 1%er cred. Now I just need to make the money and I'll be set.
You'll be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm drinking some classic New York City tap water, which has a very interesting mineral quality to the flavor. But really it hits you on the front of the tongue, but you feel it in the back. It's wonderful.
New York City tap water is super good, though.
It is. It really is. And the reason I'm drinking is because I actually woke up just like 3 hours ago. So
that's impressive.
Whoops. Yeah, it was great. It was wonderful.
Were you up late last night, or you just decided to have a nap?
That's the thing. I wasn't. So
yeah,
it just sort of happened against my better judgment. But anywho. Let's see. Do you want to answer a question?
Let's do it. Yes. From Dietrich. Stogner. I'm going to run right at that one and say Dietrich Stogner. Does that sound right?
Let's lean in.
Yeah. So Dietrich asks, I'm an author who's preparing to launch a Patreon campaign. Patreon is a service that allows people to donate small amounts to an artist periodically as they produce and release new content. In my case, I'll be publishing short fiction, mostly crime and horror. I'm setting aside money to promote the campaign, but I'm curious as to the best value for the type of campaign that I'm running. I've considered podcasts like Bim Bim Man because of their proven track record in supporting things like Kickstarter, but I wonder if there's a better way to promote a creative endeavor like this. I'm really proud of Dietrich. I can only assume that... Dietrich has followed me enough on Twitter and this podcast to know that I will support literally anything that people bring to my attention if it sounds interesting. And I'm pretty sure Dietrich thinks I'm going to just sign up for Patreon right now and start throwing money that way. And you're not entirely wrong. I'm resisting the urge right now to like, oh, let me look up Dietrich Sonnenberg. And so I like crime and horror fiction, but I'm going to resist the urge because I don't really have that kind of money to throw around. But just gosh darn it, I love people doing cool things. I do think that something like Advertising I'm a Bit Man, of course, because we've seen such great success from that. Obviously, I mean, there's some, I'm not going to say bias, but obviously we know that there is some value to that. But I think in a case like this, especially because Patreon, if you're not aware of Patreon, and I wasn't until Dietrich's question, because it kind of requires more ongoing commitment and not just a one time I'm going to support, I think you have to do more of a drive, more of a long term drive for support instead of a one off ad. And I would almost liken it to, you know, what Max Fund does with their, you know, their fundraising drives. And as well, something like, if you're not aware of Andrew Sullivan's blog, the political writer, you know, he's gone subscription based for his blog and has seen huge success for that. And it kind of requires a significant commitment to always be asking for money and always be reminding people of the value of providing that money. So I think a one-off ad is a good way to, in some ways, kickstart your campaign. But I think you've definitely got to be prepared to keep bugging people for cash over the long term.
Yeah, and looking at Patreon, as I am doing right now, a lot of the people, certainly the people that they're featuring on the front page, let's see, there's Zach Wienersmith from SMBC, the GeekBeat TV people, people like that who are coming to Patreon with a built-in audience. So I don't want to be a downer, but I think you need to really focus on just building an audience generally, because I would suspect, and I don't know the specifics of Patreon, but I would have a feeling that you're going to have a harder time if you don't come in with an existing fan base, because it's not going to be a situation where it's like a Kickstarter where it's just sort of a one-off thing. This requires people who really know what you do and like what you do. So really less, probably even less than trying to get them to commit, just start by trying to get them to actually know who you are and know what you do. And that might be tricky. It certainly will be tricky. But I think that's going to set you up for better long-term success.
I think that's exactly right. I'm on what I assume is Dietrich's blog right now, and it hasn't updated in a little while. And I would consider whether you have the built-in audience right now for Patreon to be the way to go. Just because I think you do some damage to your future efforts if you fail right away in something like this. And of course, I don't want you to be risk adverse, but you know, if you launch your Patreon and you don't get, you know, enough support to actually make a go of anything, it could be a little demoralizing. And I think it might be best to put yourself on better footing, get some more readers on your blog, do something like, you know, what we did, which is a one-off or a two-off ad in one place to get you kind of a built-in audience that without asking for cash. And then you take kind of your more qualified, your more dedicated, your more interested in audience and point them towards a place where they can support you. You know, even with our podcast in the future, we might ask for, if we want to do something that requires money for this podcast, if we need to upgrade equipment or something like that, we may ask our fans to donate, and knowing that it'll be a very small percentage of our fans who would be able to do that. But we wouldn't be in a position to ask for cash if we didn't have an installed base of listeners. And you might be in a similar position right now. I'm going to find in the show notes, I was talking about Andrew Sullivan about, you know, doing subscription for his blog. I'll find a couple of his posts about, you know, how their financing goes and like the huge, you know, kind of spurts that their donations come in. That could be interesting, could be insightful for you to kind of get a picture of what you can expect once you do have that built-in audience, how the money could flow.
Yeah. And I would just say that I don't want it to come across as us saying that we don't think you should make money off your creative endeavors.
Oh, goodness, no.
I don't think that is what we're saying, but I just want to sort of reiterate that, yes, you absolutely, we want you to be able to make money doing this, and Patreon seems like a really cool service that makes that possible. But you can't, it's difficult on day one to ask people for money who have no commitment to what you do, or no, they don't feel invested in what you do. So start off by focusing on building that fan base, because then once you have them, it'll be a lot easier to convert them into long-term supporters. There's an idea that they talk about in the Tropical MBA podcast, which is worth a listen. And I don't think they created the idea, but that's where I heard it first. This idea of having 1,000 true fans, or it's like it's 100 true fans, 1,000 followers, something. Oops, I just bumped my mic. Something like that. And this actually probably, I think now that I'm on Google, it came from Seth Godin. But anyway, you need to build that fan base up first, because only a small percentage is actually going to convert. So it's the idea that if you have 10,000 people who like what you do, 1,000, you can really only expect 1,000 of them to pay for whatever you're doing and support you in doing that. So really take the time to make sure that you have a big enough audience that the small percentage who will actually convert and actually be able to afford to give you money are going to be able to do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. I think I completely agree. And it's definitely not the case where we don't think you should go for something like this. It's just positioning yourself for the best potential for success. And I think getting an installed base of fans seems like the way to go. And kind of similar to what, you know, Oz is doing right now with Doodle Game of, you know, build yourself, get some attention for your website, get some people to sign up for a newsletter and kind of coax those people, you know, more and more into becoming closer and closer to you and your brand. So that asking them for money in the future has a better potential for success instead of, you know, approaching people cold.
Yeah. And maybe this is an opportunity to start thinking about how, you know, if you're going to start doing blogging and things like that to get people involved, how can you actually make them feel like a part of what you're doing? So maybe some of that is that you do something like a choose your own adventure story, where every week you have people vote on the direction that your character takes. Finding those really cool ways to get people to feel invested and like their input actually matters into what you're creating could be an interesting way to increase your conversion rates when it does come down to the time where you want to kickstart that Patreon campaign, or you want to do a Kickstarter or something like that, where you're actually asking for money. Because at that point, you're going to have people who feel very invested in the stories and in the characters that you've created. So it could be sort of an interesting opportunity to see how that kind of not really gamification, but inviting participation, how that can influence your future crowdfunding campaigns.
Yeah, that sounds good. I hope that was useful, Dietrich. Please let us know how it goes and what you decide to do. And, you know, as I'm sure you can tell from our show, we love to follow up on previous advice and what people are up to. So send us a message and let us know how things are going. And we would be more than happy to chat about this in the future. And of course, like I said, Bia's Patreon was not something that I was super aware of before. I'd love to hear more about how that process goes. And if you are an artist out there who this sounds like the kind of thing you're interested in, go to patreon.com and it's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. We'll have it in the show notes, of course, and check it out.
Awesome. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Let's run through our housekeeping here. If you want to submit a question, you can do that at notarealjob.com/questions. You can also shoot us a question on Twitter if you'd like. Twitter at NarjCast, NARJCast. Thanks to everyone who's been talking about us there. Fisher DR, JC Ness, which is Josh from the meetup, and Doodle Game, who's Oz, who's at the meetup. So thank you to you guys for coming. And also, in the past week or so, we've gotten a couple different requests in comments and on Twitter to be on Stitcher. And we are now. We applied and they were nice enough to let us in. So you can find that link at notarealjob.com/Stitcher, and that will take you right there.
Yeah. So once again, thank you to Josh, Oz, and Ben for coming to the meetup. Thanks to Mother's Ruin for just being an awesome bar in Soho. Definitely check them out. And they're at Mother's Ruin NYC on Twitter. And thank you all for listening in. I think we talked about this a bit at the meetup, and I think probably on other shows, where our goal for the show is to kind of move more and more into becoming, you know, a really cool, transparent podcast where we talk about, you know, the money we spend to advertise our listener, you know, how many listeners we have, how we produce the show. So if you have any questions just about producing show, actually, Josh and I, Josh, who came to the meetup and then we hung out in Brooklyn, had lots of questions about producing a podcast. So if you have any questions for us on how we make this show, we would love to talk about that again. We can probably do a whole other episode in the future about producing the show and what goes into it, if you have any questions about anything like that.
Cool. So thanks everyone for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.